Welcome back to this Divine Office podcast. And here again on the morning of October 30th, we can begin the Office of Readings. Today is also, in the secular world, Halloween, or the eve of Halloween. So it'll be really good to build up our spiritual power and muscle as we go through to All Souls and All Saints Day. Just a gentle reminder that this Friday, All Saints Day, is actually a holy day of obligation for Catholics, for our Catholic listeners, to go to Mass in most dioceses in the United States of America. We'll begin with the invitatory, and we'll continue reading our lessons from the Book of Wisdom and from First Clement, the letter of the Church of Rome to the Church at Corinth, one of the earliest Christian writings outside of the canonical books of the New Testament. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Again, the purpose of an invitatory is to help us achieve what the Catholic saints and mystics would call recollection, which basically means that we are snapped out of our daily life, our worries, our thoughts, our preoccupation, in order to turn a gaze back to God, to listen to Him, and consider and meditate on His Word. Today I choose Psalm 95 for the invitatory. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach Him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in His hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to Him, the dry land too, for it was formed by His hands. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are His people, the flock He shepherds. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. We'll say a hymn for this first part of our office. Christ, our Creator, who restore all ages, Judge awe-inspiring, King of kings eternal, hear our petitions and receive our praises in your compassion. Through the night watches, grant that we may please you with prayers and anthems. Source of light eternal, hearten and guide us. Grant us true devotion and lasting concord. Send days of blessing, born of righteous virtue, that all our actions may reflect your glory. Grant us your wisdom, life that knows no dying, now and forever. Lovingly kindle, stir the depths within us. Make our hearts watchful, filled with fire from heaven, that we may ever hold with hands upright, uplifted, lamps burning brightly. But equal praises honor the Father, and you, our Savior, loving King eternal. Through all creation, let the Spirit's glory echo forever. Antiphon 1, again, places, antiphons help us place the Psalms in our own time and context. So we're going to pray Psalm 39 today. Antiphon 1 is, we groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. The caption is, "Urgent Prayer of a Sick Person." Church reminds us of Paul's letter to the Romans and his words, "Creation is made subject to futility, ... by him who subjected it, but it is not without hope." I said, "I will be watchful of my ways, for fear I should sin with my tongue. I will put a curb on my lips. When the wicked man stands before me, I was dumb, silent, and still. His prosperity stirred my grief." And we'll repeat the antiphon after each strophe, which is like a stanza, just to get that better in our prayer. "We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. My heart was burning within me. At the thought of it, the fire blazed up, and my tongue burst into speech. O Lord, you have shown me my end. How short is the length of my days. Now I know how fleeting is my life." We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. You have given me a short span of days. My life is as nothing in your sight. A mere breath, the man who stood so firm. A mere shadow, the man passing by. A mere breath, the riches he hoards, not knowing who will have them. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You can offer your own prayer at this moment. We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. Antiphon 2, and the second part of Psalm 39. Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain. And now, Lord, what is there to wait for? In you rests all my hope. Set me free from all my sins. Do not make me the taunt of the fool. I was silent, not opening my lips, because this was all your doing. Take away your scourge from me. I am crushed by the blows of your hand. You punish man's sins and correct him. Like the moth, you devour all he treasures. Mortal man is no more than a breath. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, turn your ear to my cry. Do not be deaf to my tears. In your house I am a passing guest, a pilgrim like all my fathers. Look away that I may breathe again before I depart to be no more. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And the optional psalm prayer from the book is, "Through your Son you taught us, Father, not to be fearful of tomorrow, but to commit our lives to your care. Do not withhold your Spirit from us, but help us find a life of peace after these days of trouble." And as I've said, you can modify that prayer. You don't have to say that prayer, but the prayer gives us an idea of how the church wants us to pray with the Psalms. We take what is in the Psalms, these ancient inspired prayers that the Holy Spirit stirred up within people, and we apply them to our own lives, try to find parallels between what the Psalms is saying and what is going on in our lives, or things that just speak to us and hit us in a certain way so that we can pray. And we pray the Psalms for the whole community, for everyone that's going through something like that. We pray on their behalf, trying to become spiritually one through the Holy Spirit's power with them, so that we can also rejoice with those who rejoice, and in some measure weep with those who weep. Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain. Antiphon 3. I have put all my trust in the Lord, in God's never-failing mercy. And then we start to pray Psalm 52. The caption is, "Against a calumniator," which is just a fancy Catholic term for someone who makes up lies and detractions about someone else in a serious matter. The church reminds us of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians and his words, "If anyone would boast, let him boast in the Lord." Why do you boast of your wickedness, you champion of evil, planning ruin all day long? Your tongue like a sharpened razor, you master of deceit. You love evil more than good, lies more than truth. You love the destructive word, you tongue of deceit. For this God will destroy you and remove you forever. He will snatch you from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The just shall see and fear. They shall laugh and say, "So this is the man who refused to take God as his stronghold, but trusted in the greatness of his wealth and grew powerful by his crimes. But I am like a growing olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the goodness of God forever and ever. I will thank you forevermore, for this is all you're doing. I will proclaim your name, that your name is good, in the presence of your friends. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen." Again, the church proposes this optional psalm prayer. It is truly optional. It's not even technically one of the prayers that you're supposed to pray during the office. But again, some people find them very moving too, especially the first time you look at them. Father, and it teaches us how they kind of want us to use the psalms to make them our own prayer. Father, you cut down the unfaithful branch for burning and prune the fertile to make it bear more fruit. Make us grow like laden olive trees in your domain, firmly rooted in the power and mercy of your Son, so that you may gather us from us fruit worthy of eternal life. In honor of Mary's gifts, we often pray in honor of Mary's gifts after this, but I'm just going to give you a week of this technically precise divine office, and you can decide if we want to add Hail Marys or anything else. I have put all my trust in God's never-failing mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I put my trust in the word of the Lord. All my hope is in him. And our first reading is from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 6, verses 1 through 25. The caption is, "Wisdom should be cherished. Hear, therefore, kings, and understand. Learn, you magistrates of the earth's expanse. Hearken, you who are in power over the multitude, and lord it over throngs of people. Because authority was given you by the Lord, and sovereignty by the Most High, who shall probe your works and scrutinize your counsels? Because, though you were ministers of his kingdom, you judged not rightly, and did not keep the law, nor walk according to the will of God. Terribly and swiftly shall he come against you, because judgment is stern for the exalted. For the lowly may be pardoned out of mercy, but the mighty shall be mightily put to the test. For the Lord of all shows no partiality, nor does he fear greatness, because he himself made the great as well as the small, and he provides for all alike. But for those in power, a rigorous scrutiny impends. To you, therefore, O princes, are my words addressed, that you may learn wisdom and that you may not sin. For those who keep the holy precepts hallowed shall be found holy, and those learned in them will have ready a response. Desire, therefore, my words, long for them, and you shall be instructed. Resplendent and unfading is wisdom, and she is readily perceived by those who love her, and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of men's desire. He who watches for her at night or at dawn shall not be disappointed, for he shall find her sitting by his gate. For taking thought of her is the perfection of prudence, and he who for her sake keeps vigil shall quickly be free from care, because she makes her own rounds, seeking those worthy of her, and graciously appears to them in the ways, and meets them with all solicitude. For the first step toward discipline is a very earnest desire for her. Then care for discipline is love of her. Love means keeping her laws. To observe her laws is the basis for incorruptibility, and incorruptibility makes one close to God. Thus, the desire for wisdom leads up to a kingdom. If, then, you find pleasure in scepter and throne, you princes of the peoples, honor wisdom that you may reign as kings forever. Now what wisdom is and how she came to be, I shall relate, and I shall hide no secrets from you. But from the very beginning I shall search out and bring to light knowledge of her, nor shall I divert from the truth. Neither shall I admit consuming jealousy to my company, because that can have no fellowship with wisdom. A great number of wise men is the safety of the world, and a prudent king the stability of his people. So take instruction from my words to your prophet. Responsory prayer. With pure intention I learned wisdom, and ungrudgingly I now share it. For wisdom is an unfailing treasure for all peoples. Wretched is the man who rejects wisdom. God loves only the man who lives with wisdom, for wisdom is an unfailing treasure for all peoples. We're observing a moment of silence. Also, the full texts of the office are accessible online, ibreviary.com, I-B-R-E-V-I-A-R-Y. Second letter, or second reading, from a letter to the Corinthians by St. Clement, Pope. Let us put on unity of mind, thinking humbly of ourselves, exercising self-control, keeping ourselves far from all backbiting and slander, being righteous in deed, and not in word only. Scripture says, he who says much hears much in his own turn. Or does the easy talker think that he is righteous? It is our duty then to be eager to do good, for everything is from God. He warns us, see, the Lord is coming, and the reward he brings is before him, for paying each according to his work. He urges us, all who believe in him, with all our heart, not to be idle or careless in any good work. Our boasting and our confidence must rest on him. Let us be subject to his will. Let us look carefully at the whole host of his angels. They stand ready and serve his will. Scripture says, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and 1,000 served him and cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. The whole creation is full of his glory. We, too, dutifully gathered together in unity of mind, should cry out to him continuously with one voice, so as to share in his great and glorious promises. It is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, man's heart has not conceived what great things have been prepared for those who wait for him. Beloved, how blessed, how wonderful are God's gifts. life with immortality, glory with righteousness, truth with confidence, self-control with holiness. All these are the gifts that fall within our understanding. What then are those gifts that are in store for those who wait for him? Only the most holy Creator and Father of the ages knows their greatness and their splendor. We should then strive with the greatest zeal to be found among the number of those who await him, so that we may share in the promised gifts. How will this be, beloved, if our mind is fixed on God through faith, if we are diligent in seeking what is pleasing and acceptable to him, if we fulfill what is according to his blameless will and follow the way of truth, casting away from ourselves all that is unholy? Responsory prayer. Lord, show me your ways and teach me to walk in your footsteps. Guide me in your truth. You are the God of my salvation, and I wait for you all day long. Look on me, Lord, and have pity on me, for I am poor and alone. You are the God of my salvation. And our final prayer will be, Almighty and ever-living God, strengthen our faith, hope, and love. May we do with loving hearts what you ask of us, and come to share the life you promise. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. And that concludes the Office of Readings for our office today. Eventually, we're going to get to where you can leave a comment. For now, you can certainly email us your email address if you want to be listed and on my list of people that I normally correspond with and deal with in this Divine Office ministry. So there's just a lot of different ways you could reflect on those readings. I think I'm going to leave you, though, to reflect on them. And perhaps we could talk a little bit about the Protestant and Catholic view of justification at another time, and how this letter of Clement to the Corinthians, or the letter of the Church of Rome to the Corinthians, really illuminates and explains and capitalizes on so much of the New Testament. And if more attention had been paid to this letter, I really think there's a good chance that the quarrel that led to the Protestant schism could have been resolved, because it really addresses things in a more personal rather than a legalistic way, and it helps explain Scripture in its own terms. But unfortunately, people were too hung up on themselves, and that's why we say that there's fault on both sides for the Protestant-Catholic schism. But you know, today, God is just reminding me, whether we're in a position of authority as parents, as teachers, as catechists, we have to learn to treat people as our own brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, because he's going to come and ask us why we let them suffer and die, perhaps, on the dangers of pornography, on the dangers of all types of sinful and foolish paths that people go down because they don't know any better and because our culture is urging them on. So we have to be conscious of our own authority and learn to love people, even if we don't feel like we're loving them. We need to learn to love them like sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, however it's appropriate. Dana signing off for today. I hope you enjoyed this Divine Office and very, very, very short commentary. And I hope most of all that you hear God's voice speaking through the prayers that we say here and what the Church has given us. Signing off.